The PCN will engage with community partners. The PCN will engage with the ICS and system partners. The PCN will engage with patients. Effective engagement is key to the success of primary care networks. This is the first of a four-part series in which Gandhi and I will explore how PCNs can, do, should and could engage in the areas of NHS system partners, community partner organisations, engagement inside the PCN with ARRS staff and practices, and most importantly with patients. Buckle in and let's talk NHS systems engagement for PCNs in this video. Let's tech enhance your primary care and learning.
Hey, GP learners. So you've got me, myself and Andy, and we're going to be talking about engagement. And as Andy mentioned, this is a series of kind of podcasts and vlogs that we've got for you. And on this one, we're talking about engaging with the system as a primary care network. Tell us about systems, Andy.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're one of the key sort of four areas, I think, that primary care networks need to be thinking about their engagement. So we've got sort of systems. And I think by that, we mean the wider NHS system or family of organisations. And we might just expand that to cover perhaps the bigger partners in local government, such as the local councils and potentially some of our local politicians at a push. But the big NHS players. Of course, the other areas that we'll be covering in other videos coming up are those engagement relationships within the primary care network, with our staff, with the practices that form the core of our primary care networks, with community partners. And I think by that, we mean the sort of smaller community organisations, local charities, education, a whole host of bodies that it's important to engage with and will be more important going forward. And finally, patients. But yeah, today, systems and the NHS family.
Yep. So I guess when we're looking at this, it'd be nice to outline who these systems are and all these different things and stuff. So to help us do that, let's have a little look, shall we? So we've got this lovely little diagram. And Andy, you wanted to talk about this engagement matrix. So talk us through what this looks like and what this means and stuff.
Yeah, I love systems and tools and, you know, little frameworks to hang things on. So this is a stakeholder matrix. And I think it's a good way to start to talk and talk around these engagement partners, and might also call them stakeholders, I guess. So this is quite sort of commonly used in business for stakeholder engagement and assessment. And across one axis, you have the interest level of stakeholders. How interested are they in engaging with you or what you're up to? And on the other axis, you tend to have the power of the stakeholders to determine whether or not you're successful in what you're doing, or the kind of influence level that they have on the outcome or other stakeholders. And you can categorize people in four windows. So those stakeholders that are really interested, but also have a high influence or power, these are key players. So these are people that you want to engage with closely and that you want to focus a lot of attention on and make sure that you're engaging well with. You might have people who are lower in power, but quite high in interest. So these are people to show consideration to, keep informed, you know, bring along with you. Some patients, they've got a lot of power over the outcome, but frustratingly, they're low interest. So these are people that you really need to reach out to, make sure that you are meeting their needs, make sure that you're keeping them satisfied because they are less interested in your side of the outcome. And then finally, there's people who don't have much interest and they don't have much influence or power. So these are the least important. And in a world where you only have so much of anything, including effort to engage with stakeholders, these are the people that you can perhaps be more passive with your engagement with, or so the theory goes. So there's the framework that we'll use to pin these people on, or organizations.
So I guess important to recognize that a couple of ones that we're not going to talk about for this is specifically, we're not going to talk about patients because we're going to talk about it in a separate stream and things. Additionally, we haven't included the practices or the network itself in this, and that's because, again, this is about how they engage with the networks, and we've kind of included the practices with that. And we'll come to that in a different stream. So this is talking wider and outside of the PCN networks themselves. So just for clarity, because people will probably say, well, you haven't included general practice in there. Well, that's the reason why. Okay.
Yeah. So this, I was going to say, this is just the system. What we're going to do is keep this matrix and we'll revisit in each of the four videos, and we'll leave the system ones on and we'll leave the ones from the previous video on so that we can see how we rate, you know, patients next to the ICS in terms of their interest and their power and so forth. So I think it'll be interesting to follow for the whole series of videos.
Yep. And towards the end of this, we'll give you a couple of quick thoughts from our perspective as to how you can do some of that engagement in other ways as well. So we'll talk about obviously who to engage with and then a quick bit on how, or our views on how, shall we say. So we've got a nice little list there, Andy. Let's talk through from the top one, ICSs.
So the integrated care system. So for us, this covers about 1 million people, or is it three? Yeah. It's a lot of people across
Nottinghamshire, basically the population in, Nottinghamshire, which is pretty large for us, and obviously every area, other areas are going to be different. I've forgotten how many ICSs there are across the country in total, but for some reason I've got the number 30-ish, but I might be wrong with that, and apologies if I am. So yeah,
I'm not sure. And I suppose just for clarity, so we have primary care networks, about 50,000 patients. Above that, we have sort of ICPs, which are about sort of ranging, but I think ours is about 360,000 patients.
Yeah, hundreds of thousands typically, yeah.
So pretty big. And then above that, we have ICSs, which are a collaboration of different ICPs, or some areas might just have an ICS and not have an ICP. And we have 8 primary care networks in Nottingham City. Nottingham City is an ICP, which is part of Nottinghamshire ICS, which covers about 3 ICPs and 20 primary care networks.
So moving up to 4 shortly, actually. We're having another ICP join us in due time, or already have. I've lost track of the timelines.
Which one's that?
Bassett Law.
Bassett Law. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're breaking away from South Yorkshire then, I guess. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's just pop these, you know, right up there and not have too much debate about it. Mm-hmm. We need to engage with them really, really closely. They are a key player for us. So Candy, in your primary care network and in Nottingham, how are we engaging with the ICS? And in fact, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna move the ICP over first, because they're sort of key to how we engage with the ICP, I think, because it's all part of an integrated system. So let's move those over.
I think our engagement is increasing. I think it's a challenging area because the ICSs have only just formed, and very much I think the focus of the ICSs may not necessarily be on general practice, which is a bit of a challenge, because actually general practice has parts of it that are meant to align to what the ICS is trying to deliver. So we know that the PCNDES is meant to align to what they're trying to deliver, in particular things like anticipatory care and personalized care. It even says that on the tin, shall we say. And if you want to see why, we'll check out one of our earlier streams, look at the PCNDES objectives for 21 onwards and stuff that basically goes through a lot of that in detail. So we are meant to work with them. Are we subject to them? Well, I think increasingly we will, as we hear about some of the other stuff that's changing in the healthcare stratosphere, shall we say. But yeah, are we really good at it? ICSs, not so much, I don't think. ICPs, we probably have a bit more involvement and stuff, and we actually have dedicated people whose roles are to engage with the networks and the ICPs and wider, so that helps in some way. What did you think, Andy?
Yeah, I think it's a good point to start talking about the general engagement apparatus that's been constructed in Nottingham City, sort of which incorporates the 8 primary care networks, the CCG in terms of locality teams and work, and people from the ICP as well. So I'm just going to drag these across as well, because, and I'm really interested to know what people are doing in other parts of the country. So in Nottingham, the 8 primary care networks meet every fortnight. And in fact, Gandhi, you're one of the co-chairs of those meetings, to spend what is normally about sort of 1 to 2 hours talking about issues that affect Nottingham City. So that's at the sort of ICP scale. And that meeting's evolved really from crisis meetings that were occurring at the beginning of the COVID pandemic to a more organized meeting that has terms of references written and agreed, and, you know, voting mechanisms, and has a chair and a vice chair, which is Gandhi and Mike. In Nottingham City, all the primary care networks are represented, and representatives from the local GP Federation come along, and from the ICP, and we have sort of locality representation from the CCG. I've got right, so that's, they're there, aren't they, Gandhi? I always wonder about the origins of the locality team, but I think they come out of the CCG. And that gets everyone around the table every fortnight, and people can bring what is on their agenda to that meeting, share information, ask questions, go away, bring answers back to the next meeting. And I think that's a good start. I don't know what other, I'm really interested in what other people are doing in other parts of the country, actually. But but that's a key part of our engagement with all of those stakeholders, isn't it, Gandhi? What do you think that works?
I think it works at points. I think sometimes we get stuff coming our way that we're kind of wondering why has this come to us in the first place, and vice versa. We have some opportunities where we're thinking, how can we make this work more effectively? And we need to talk wider with other people, particularly the ICS. You know, there's some stuff that seems beyond our capability to change. So I think it's a group that morphs a lot depending on the time and what's coming through. But I think there's a lot of strength in terms of collaboratively working together. I think that's the key thing, is having the right people in the meetings to help answer some of the questions and look at that. And that requires planning and structure and focus and things. I think, interestingly, you've put the CCG in there. So many people probably be aware the CCGs are being phased out. And actually, it'll be the ICSs that kind of take over the functions of the CCG, although the CCG will sort of be there in really thin capacity. And that complexity is something that I think is going to cause some confusion for many places and people, in particular how services might be delivered, particularly as how that morphs across and things. So, yeah, don't know where you're at with that. Do you want to know how to use System 1 more effectively as a clinician? There are various different things you can look at, but there is only one course that can help you understand this and have all my hints and tips on how to use System 1 so much more effectively, and that's the System 1 course for clinicians. If you want to have a look at it, have a look bit.ly/TPPS1course, TPP and S1 in capitals. But if you do have a look at it, what will you get? Well, you'll get content and information and guides on how to use System 1 more effectively, from getting started with System 1 to navigating the patient record to understanding the key parts like doing a consultation, as well as prescribing, clinical admin, communication, and various other information. And this includes my hints and tips on how to use System 1 so much more effectively, so it saves you time and your patients stress in terms of their navigation with their patient journey. If you want to have a look at it, check out the link. As I said, it's bit.ly/TPPS1course, and the TPP and S1 are all in capitals, and you will get access to all this content perfectly. Even better yet, there's a money back guarantee. So if you don't actually find this course has helped save you some time, just let me know. I'll refund you the course once you've completed it and stuff. Catch you then.
I'm going to leave them there for the moment until they disappear.
Okay.
What I think we have quite strong links with the ICP. I've just realised I've spelt it wrong here, and it's only three letters. But we have links with the ICP, which I think are building and strengthening. Just think about Tracy, who started to engage with our two networks, who works within the ICP. And I think that relationship's working really well. She's director of nursing at our community nursing organization that we'll come to later. And she's working on population health projects, in particular primary care networks. So all of these interactions with individuals, I think, help to strengthen the relationship with all of these partners and stakeholders. So ICP developing, ICS, so I'm less sure how well that's working. What are your thoughts on relationships with the ICS and how that can be done well in particular?
I think it needs to be developed, because the ICS is going to be delivering the aims and the structure of what healthcare is trying to do in collaboration with obviously the wider environment like social care and other aspects. And keeping general practice and primary care on the forefront of that needs to happen, because if people forget about it very quickly because they seem to think it can manage everything else that comes towards it. But without that engagement, you'll see real challenges afterwards in terms of how patient experience, patient engagement, and all the other parts come into play. How to have that engagement? Well, it often is a case of putting across the impact that these things will have and trying to speak to the relevant people in terms of doing that. And that's often the bigger challenge, isn't it? It's who you know, unfortunately, a lot of the time has an impact more than what you know and how you know it, kind of thing. So keen that for that to happen, you need to have a seat at the table. You need to be speaking at that table as well.
Yeah, I think we really need to develop relationships between the city and city GPs and the key leaders in the ICS, because I think other ICPs have much better routes in. I'm just thinking about, you know, the Rushcliffe ICP, you know, county would have much better routes in given their, you know, better represented in that area. I'm going to move them. Yeah. I'm going to move them actually. I think they're less interested in us than they have power overs, to be honest, because they are concerned with issues that are happening at the hospital trusts and the mental health trust and, you know, all sorts of other partners. And actually positioning them there just acknowledges, for the purposes of our assessment, that maybe we need to shift them to being more interested in us. So that's sort
I'd agree with that assessment. Yeah. And I think we're probably more engaged with ICPs and they're more engaged with networks than the ICSs are. So I'd probably shift that a little bit more to the left, maybe. But not, definitely further across. CCGs, I think, is hard to understand because they're being phased out. That one I find quite tricky to place, but absolutely agree with what you've just done, which is put the federations towards the top right corner, because I think that for us, in particular for our local picture, and that may not be the same for other places, the engagement with the federations, particularly our local federation, is really important, because that's the strengthening arm from my perspective of how we collaborate between networks and as networks function more effectively, because that wider and larger voice has a better impact if we do that.
Yeah, and in Nottingham, the GP federations have been really good as being stepping up really early on to be a lead employer for primary care networks. And you know, it's been a really interesting journey, and it's really complex to make all of those things work effectively, but I think we're learning and moving forwards strongly with that now. And they're also doing functions like managing PCM bank accounts and custodying funds and things like that. So they're really integral in Nottingham. And so they're very, consequently, they're very important and powerful in terms of their influence on how successful we are. And they're very, we're very interested in each other, really, in terms of what's happening. And we've done a lot of work on that relationship, actually. And we have a, like a cross organization innovation group that has deeper conversations about strategic issues in Nottingham City, which I think is beginning to work well. So we've got some good foundations to build on.
Sure. The only thing I would say differently, though, Andy, is I would probably put federations a little bit lower down. I think possibly we're overestimating the power and the influence they may have in terms of compared to things like the ICSs and the CCGs, because whilst they are there absolutely to help and support us, I don't feel they've got the same influence as those higher up organizations. In fact, you know, I think there's very few organizations that will have influence locally to us greater than that than the ICS. Because that's where the funding comes from.
I'm gonna counter argue here. And I think it depends on how you interpret this this statement, really, influence and power of stakeholders, because I think actually, you know, a failure of the GP Federation would be really quite catastrophic to the mission of primary care networks in Nottingham City, or at least very highly problematic. So in terms of the influence and power that they have on the ability to deliver the mission, that's quite high. So actually, interpreting in that way, you would probably say they're actually potentially one of the most sort of key partners to work closely with, because of the, you know, just the impact of poor engagement with them would be really, really bad. And we sometimes see that in places. So let's move them down a smidgen, but not too much.
Okay.
But interesting. Yeah. It's really, really interesting debate, isn't it?
It is.
So that was good. That allowed us to talk about the structures that we've built in Nottingham to try and engage with, I think, what are probably the main key partners that are closest to us. And we've identified we perhaps need to do more to influence the ICS to take more interest in Nottingham City. And I think we are beginning to do that. So moving down, hospital trusts, where should we place them?
So, I mean, the hospital trusts have huge impact in terms of the workload that general practice and networks face and how that works with our patients. I think the interest of them in networks will vary across various different parts of the country. I'd probably put that they're less interested in the networks than
even that.
Possibly. Well, yeah. Influence, I'd probably put them a little bit lower, depending on which perspective of influence you're putting as well. So I think in some ways they're interested in us, in networks, and other ways they're not. So it's a harder one to judge. But yeah. I think about theirs probably.
It's this debate in power as well, isn't it? Because, you know, them not functioning correctly, you know, has a really bad impact on us, and them not engaging well impacts the mission. But power over us is less and comes through other means like the ICS. The Mental Health Trust would probably be in a similar position then, I guess, Gandhi, to the Hospital Trust. Was replace them next.
Agree. Although I think they probably got a bit more interest in terms of where we are because of the closer working with the community impact and things. So, you know, if they're struggling, particularly we know that some of the ARS roles, particularly in the past year, has had more interest for Mental Health Trust because they are now part funding one of those roles. So I put their interest a bit further across, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, we're needing to collaborate with them on the success of the mental health support worker. So absolutely. Mm-hmm. Community nursing. Mm-hmm. So for us, this is largely the organisation called City Care, isn't it?
True.
Not for profit in Nottingham. And I'm sure the delivery mechanisms are probably different all over the country, but that's for us. Mm-hmm. I think there's quite a high degree of interest from City Care. I'm just looking at, Tracy is part of the ICP. She's engaging with our primary care networks on population health. Like, we're becoming quite integrated at the top with City Care.
Yep.
I think some of the relationships at sort of practice and service level could do with a lot of strengthening. But I think I'm going to put them about there, really.
Okay. Yeah, no, I agree with that. Yeah. Do you think, roughly what I was thinking.
So again, in terms of engagement with nursing, this is an area where the engagement needs to be good at the top, at the strategic level, and we can see that forming well in Nottingham, I think, through the ICP structures and the Leeds Committee in Nottingham, the committee of the 8 primary care networks that Tracy's often comes to now. But there's also that relationship at kind of brass tacks, bread and butter, delivering service level to think about as well. Are you making any inroads into improving that in your
primary care? I think it's an area where we need to develop that probably a lot more effectively across Nottinghamshire, I would say. I think different places have different experiences. A lot of it comes down to how closely you're cohabited with your community services. So if they're in the same building, you naturally have a greater, generally speaking, relationship with them than if they're based in a separate building. That's an obvious change that I'm happy to comment on, but I think understanding how that works on the run, you know, day in, day out, has a massive impact. If you have a good community engaged nursing team around you, the outcomes for the patients and for the working world is so far better, generally speaking, than if you have a less engaged one.
I think this is where primary care networks probably do have a role in being like the glue between some of the variety of stakeholders that we have, because I think the primary care network has a role in improving engagement between practices and community nursing, both in an understanding one another level, but just in a sharing information, having conversations about patients, being able and having a place to have those conversations, better MDTs, improving the MDT experience. I think that's a real focus where PCNs could have a lot of impact. So good conversations to be had around community nursing, I think.
Yeah.
Local government, so council services, councillors, and local government. I found them to be fairly interested in primary care networks, actually, when we have engaged. It might depend on the councillors that you have in your particular wards. I found them to be fairly interested. I think their power is, I think they're really useful, actually. I think they are really, really useful partners, and they can help you access, other services and all sorts of assets. Probably fairly low power, I think, in terms of the overall mission. They're sort of key to some aspects, aren't they? But I don't know, should we put them in the middle?
I think they're going to be, because I think it's going to be different based on how much interaction the networks have done and how engaged they themselves are, and this is going to be completely different. So I think in some networks this is going to be far towards the right, and some networks can be far towards the left. And in terms of influence, I think it's always going to veer around the middle. I'm aware, having spoken to a local representative, they'd not even heard of PCNs before. So, and that was just as close as this week. So, they've been in existence for 2 years now. but hadn't heard of them. So, you know, how interested are they? I'd probably say low interest. So that then has an impact, doesn't it?
I think it's variable.
I think it's one that's going to have to go in the middle, because it's very much going to be dependent on your local situation.
Yeah, let's put it in the middle and it can shift around. We have one counsellor who, you know, now that they know about us, they're like, oh, can we have some diabetes education in this ward? And we've been doing a door knock here and people are telling us that they want this and that. And, you know, actually, that's really, really nice to have that level of engagement. Okay. Mm-hmm. Public Health England. Mm-hmm. Really key for some of this population health work that we're doing and getting the right data, and they seem to have an appropriate level of interest. They are engaging with us how they should, and you know, their data is key to the delivery of some aspects of what primary care networks want to achieve, but not necessarily the overall mission. I don't know, I'm thinking kind of lower interest, lower power, but I mean, they're important. I don't want to belay their importance.
I'd shift them a bit more towards the right. I think public health is an area that we need to have better influence and interest with, and I think locally that's growing for us actually. So I'm aware that our local public health consultants are planning to come and join us for some of our meetings and things. Again, local differences are going to be different in terms of influence with other stakeholders. Actually, public health is really important, as we saw through COVID. You know, it massively makes a difference if it's done right, and it's making sure it is done right is really important.
Just making space for them in the engage closely quadrant, I think, next to community nursing. I think that's important.
NHS England. So clearly this is an English-based stream. This would be more relevant for your NHS Wales, NHS Scotland, and that kind of stuff, you're in the other areas. But for us, NHS England basically tells us what we have to do, because they're the big organisation and stuff. What do you think, Andy?
Well, so I think NHS England are clearly very interested in the success of the primary care network project overall.
Yep.
But I'm doing this exercise as my individual primary care network, because this is going to inform my engagement strategy. And I think their level of interest in us as an individual primary care network is I think it's fairly low. It can't be very high, because there's so many primary care networks, but they've got a huge amount of power over what we do. So, I mean, I think they're probably right up here, I think, in terms of having low individual interest in my primary care network, but really, really high power. And actually, this description of meet their needs, keep them satisfied, is probably appropriate.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think, perfect placement. And Department of Health, government and politicians. Trickier one, because there's different entities involved in that. I would say I don't think we've got their interest, because many of them don't even know what PCN are, to be honest. Power, however, that they can have real influence and power over what we're trying to do if they were aware of what we are and what we're trying to do.
I see. I think they're about here. And since they're the final one, it just leads me onto another concept, because where these people are might not be where we want them to be as stakeholders. So this is part of the stakeholder engagement. And actually, we might want to take our local politicians and local MPs who, you know, have some influence at the Department of Health, who maybe have some influence at NHS England, but they certainly have some clout. We might want to actually increase their interest, and we might want to move them from here to here. And then that begs the question, okay, how are we going to do that? And I know that we're beginning to engage with our local MPs quite a lot. Actually, I've seen a lot of my MP in the last 3 months, having not really engaged with them much during most of COVID. And they seem to be increasingly interested, actually. And in terms of moving people, there are a number of different tactics you can use, isn't there? But our local MP, Alex Norris, if you're out there, you're probably not watching, but I really valued your engagement, actually. Been really, really impressed. And I know that Alex has a portfolio within the shadow government as one of the shadow ministers for health. So he, as a kind of being a bit mercenary and strategic as a primary care network, we can think, well, he actually has a requirement to be engaged with local health issues. And that's a good look for Alex. And it's really positive for us as well. And it's a really kind of noble cause to be engaged with anyway. So actually the door might be a bit open there with my knowledge of this local stakeholder to actually push at that door and, you know, give Alex opportunities to get engaged. And there's some mutual interest there in terms of his need and desire to be engaged in health issues. So, you know, that's a local engagement opportunity that we've got to shift it more in the direction of increased interest. So that's just one of the ways we're thinking about engagement. Similarly, we might want to make the ICS a bit more interested in our agenda, and we need to think and be strategic about that. I mean, I know we're we're thinking about, or we are going to invite the chair of our ICS to our Nottingham Deep End meeting to try and get him a little bit more informed about some of the challenges faced by health inequality in Nottingham City compared potentially to some of the other areas of the ICS. So once you start to identify your stakeholders, think about them, build a matrix, you know, actually there's some utility in terms of actually beginning to conceptualize how you might want to move people to different parts of the matrix.
And I think on reflection, there's another organization I would probably add into this that does need to be involved in this whole system-wide look approach, which we've probably forgotten, and for me, for forgetting it, and the LMCs.
Oh, the LMCs, of course, because Gandhi, you are part of the local LMC.
Sorry. But I think the reason for adding this in, LMCs sit outside of the practice environment, but absolutely integral in terms of how practices engage with a lot of the stuff that come through, and absolutely can be a connecting force for various strands of this in terms of making sure that the work we're trying to do aligns with the work that we are meant to do. I would say that their interest in PCNs has significantly increased over the past few years, because it's basically practices, and practices are, you know, part and parcel of PCNs. I think their influence and power is something that changes depending on the local area. Again, that's an element we have to accept. But I agree. I think, well, I'd probably put them higher up than community nursing, to be fair. But how they are in comparison to things like federations very much will be different in different areas. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. They're really key, and they have really good utility on complex and controversial issues, because they have a real and recognized independence between practices and between PCNs, you know, where interests are sometimes at odds with one another. So they've got a really good mediation role, I think. The care home allocation issues on one of our borders, you know, springs to mind, when the LMC were really, really helpful in terms of chairing a series of meetings to help us resolve those issues. That was really, really key and crucial. And then also in terms of representation back up to, I mean, we've not put the BMA and the GPC on here, and you know, they're important too, from a contractual development sort of perspective, and that's our route in to those mechanisms. So yeah, I think they're really important from a variety of reasons, actually, and maybe we should be involving them more.
Potentially. I mean, the LMC is a really good interface, I think, for networks to also have that supportive look. They originally started a lot of the engagement work that when the PCNs were created, to make sure that there was, you know, that engagement and stuff. Yeah. And I can see adding the RCGP on there now.
Yeah. What do you think about the RCGP's role with primary care networks, Gandhi? You've recently been part of my mind's failing me, but the big committee meeting that they have periodically.
RCGP Council.
Yeah. You've been part of the council for the past few years. You've just left. Maybe you've got more freedom to talk, but
I think it's absolutely on their focus, because again, PCNs are now integral part of primary care and general practice. And I think that they've hoped to have some ability to engage and influence with primary care networks. I think the challenge the RCGP has is trying to do that on a local level. So if we're talking about our individual networks, how relevant is the RCGP to my network? How relevant is that to your network? You know, they're in the same kind of boat, I think, as NHS England in that respect. They're not really focused on individual networks. Their focus will be on, their interest will be on networks as a whole, as a mechanism of delivery of primary care. I think their power, unfortunately, though, is very lower down in comparison to things like NHS England and other organisations. Yeah, see, I'd even put them all, if you're talking about my network, it's with NHS England, to be honest. It's on the same line. Because they are not going to be as interested. That much
okay, so in terms of interest, but not power.
Yeah, so I'd probably put there. What do you think? I mean, you've got a different perspective.
What do I think? I think the RCGP at a national level play an important role in this interaction between, you know, LMC BMA and GPC, RCGP, you know, and NHS England and the Department of Health. And I think RCGP does have a voice, and I think it depends on who's the Minister for Health and who's the chair of the RCGP and what that relationship's like and so forth. But thinking back, I know Helen Stokes Lampard and the giving the RCGP mug to Jeremy Hunt, you know, sort of issues. You know, there are times when RCGP might be more influential than others, and it can be influential at times on government policy, but it's kind of part of that structure that influences government. Yeah, let's just leave it there.
Yep. You just added HEE. So for those that don't know, that's Health Education England, the kind of training and educational arm of the healthcare system. Yeah, interesting one. So I think that their interest is there because they know that delivering the healthcare sustainability of the healthcare workforce is absolutely within their remit in terms of educational training positions and all the other kind of stuff that comes into it. Power? Actually, I think they've got a fair amount, but their funding's pending all the other organisations, so it makes it a bit more.
Yeah, I think they're in the middle as well, and I'm sure it varies region to region. But locally, Health Education England and you know the kind of subcommittees and so forth have been quite interested in primary care networks, and they've done a number of things which I think have been quite helpful to primary care networks in terms of making available funding for fellowship programmes, both early career and mid career fellowship programmes. That they are beginning to link to primary care networks to encourage people to work in you know areas of deprivation that might not be particularly might not be traditionally the most attractive areas to seek a career, and also making sort of project work time available to primary care networks. So I think if Health Education England can be really engaged well by your primary care network or your local network of primary care networks, they can be a really good really good partner. So it's probably about moving them up in terms of interest and, you know, and up in terms of power through integrating with them. And, you know, that can be done through these tactics of aligning interests, speaking their language, you know, understanding them and what they need, making connections at a personal level. I guess these are just some general tactics, I guess, for all of these stakeholders to move them where you want to be in the network. So
that's our matrix. Yeah.
I think those are all of the key players. I think we've also woven into that, I guess, some thoughts about how to influence appropriately. And for me, Gandhi, it's about getting the right structures in place to get the right people in the right meetings, not having two meetings, but creating the right forums for people to have the right combinations, making those personal connections, I think is really important. People respond much better if they know you as a person than if you're just an email address in their email Rolodex. I think understanding the individuals and understanding the organizations in terms of what they need in order to deliver their objectives and looking for places where your needs and their needs align and really leaning into those areas to do collaborative work and work together. I think that's really important. And think about, I mean, communication is really important as well. We do a lot of it through meetings and a lot of that's where the relationship building communication occurs and the operational stuff, you know, can be done through email and other channels. I don't know, have you got any other thoughts on how to engage better, Gandhi?
I think don't be afraid to ask would be my thing. So, you know, some of these individuals may seem intimidating in some ways. How can I engage, for example, my local MPs? How can I engage with my, you know, the NHS England and other heads and stuff? And you know, often it's finding out who the person is and then just striking up a conversation. That could initially be by email to make that arrangement, but then you're right, I think that personal connection has to be developed, and you know, whether that turns to a phone call, to a face-to-face or something else and things, you know, because it is that personal connection. I think then developing that into involvement with the other stuff that we're doing is really important to show what we're trying to achieve and why, you know, networks can potentially be a really powerful vehicle for delivery of healthcare for local areas, and why that's important to be supported, because if not, then we can see even greater challenges for practices and for other aspects of, and you know, making it important to understand why it's important to the system that this works. That's the message I think many of us need to push across. I think you can do that. You know, like I said, electronic communications are great. sharing your information on a regular basis is really important. I think that's one thing that everyone is really bad at doing, shouting about the good things that we do. I think that's something that's something we need to figure out better.
I would say on that note, I think you can also be crafty in terms of how you influence some of these stakeholders as well. And you can do things with multiple purposes. I'm just thinking about, you know, we have a primary care network website where we just post about the work that we're doing. And, you know, that's for public engagement. That's for engagement with the community stakeholders. But I'm aware that that is visible to key individuals within ICS, ICE, and that people are interested and they watch what is happening on social media and on the internet when you post. And that can also be a really useful routine. You know, it's great when you see that somebody, you know, higher up in a more elevated position in the system, you know, like something you've tweeted about your primary care network, because that means they have engaged with that. And actually that means they're a little bit more on board, and a little bit more interested in you. So you can be crafty about how you influence and engage with your stakeholders as well. Or not crafty, just smart.
Absolutely agree. But I think it requires that engagement and that will to want to do it. And don't be afraid to do it is probably the message I would say.
Yeah. Good.
Cool. So we talked about engagement with the system. As we said, this is one of the series that we are doing. So we're also going to be looking at community partners. We're going to be looking at patients, and we're going to be looking at engagement within your own network. So, you know, practices and network staff and that kind of stuff. And additionally, going to be providing more resources to help and routes to helping how to do those particular ones. So definitely make sure you join us for those shortly. They'll be coming up over the next few weeks, and we'll be sharing our thoughts and then get, you know, opportunity from that, going back to Andy's matrix that we've got there as well to help understand how we can try and moderate a lot of this kind of stuff for you. As always, if you want to check out more content, let us know. We've got stuff coming up here and probably here as well to help you understand that. And as always, we're here to help tech enhance your primary care and learning. And we'll catch you in the next episode. See ya.
Oh, hello there, EGP learner. I'm Dr. Gandalf, and I often get asked, what kind of resources do you have to try and help those using EMIS? Because you tend to do a lot more stuff for System 1. And often I've really struggled to answer that question because, let's be honest, I don't use EMIS on a regular basis. So therefore, trying to help EMIS users is a little bit more difficult for myself. And that really made me feel, well, not great. So I kind of did something to try and help all those EMIS users out there. I went and had a chat with one of my colleagues, Dr. Mike from GP on the Move, and him and I have created a course that you can use to help you use EMIS so much better. That's right, if you use EMIS but you want to use it so much better, so much quicker, and in such a way that means you go home sooner, then check out our EMIS for Clinicians course. It's an online course that takes you through all the tips and tricks that Dr. Mike knows to try and basically mean you can go home quicker. That'd be a cool thing, wouldn't it? And guess what? It's currently on offer. So if you want to take advantage of this introductory offer and get access to it now, look at the links down below and check it out. Additionally, if you're a practice, network, or wide area that wants more opportunity to use it, send me an email, egplearning@gmail.com. Let's see if we can help you out. And as I like to say, to tech enhance your primary care and learning. Shall we get back to it? Oh, and if you wanted one for System 1 users, well, you know I've got you covered, haven't I? Check out the Learn System 1 for Clinicians course, bit.ly/TPP S1 course.